That is correct. Hour two of Saturday Tailgate off and running here. Week four, ESPN 102.5, The Game, leading you right up until kickoff. Nick Hale, Marquise Munson, good to have you in. Grab your coffee, or maybe you've already switched from the caffeine to the cocktail. Grab your cocktail. It is a tailgate show, after all, as we take you up until 11 o'clock today.
Grab your 10 o'clock Tito's for the 10 a.m. Tito's.
Even 10 o'clock's a little early for me. 11:15, I'm in. 10 o'clock, yeah, I got to get caffeinated first.
Yeah, it takes me a while. I wait till like 11:30.
Although the transition from coffee to Tito's is much smoother than the transition from Jeremy Pruitt to the next Vols head coach, whoever that's going to be. And that's going to happen pretty soon. Just saying. Michigan, Wisconsin today at 11 o'clock, followed by Auburn and A&M here on 102.5 The Game. That'll lead you into the Preds and Lightning tonight at 6 o'clock. Also on 94.9 Game 2, Southern Miss Alabama. That comes up at 11, followed by Kentucky and Mississippi State. So let's get to another installment of In or Out. Marquise, I'll give you 7 or 8 different statements, and we will debate in or out on the following. Statement number one, Notre Dame will once again show us they are a fraud. In or out?
Yeah, I'm in. They're going to lose this game today against Georgia, and then, you know, they are who we thought they were, and then they're going to lose this game, and then all of a sudden they're not going to be in the college football playoffs, and then we question whether or not Brian Kelly can win the big games. So I'm going to go in on that statement. I just don't think – I mean, we've read the stats earlier. He's 2-7 against ranked opponents since 2014 on the road. So, that's not good. I mean, you beat Virginia Tech, and that's cool, and you beat, you know, Temple in Philadelphia. You know, no offense to your Temple Owls.
No, none taken.
But, I mean, yeah, if those are your only two wins on the road against ranked opponents and both of those teams were ranked below the top 20, then I don't know. I guess that makes you a fraud if you can't beat the best teams in college football.
I agree with you. I'm in as well, and it's because twofold. One, we already know that Georgia has more team speed being an SEC program than Notre Dame does, but it's just the offensive line of Georgia. I think they are going to wear and wear and wear on Notre Dame's front, and then that opens up the play action for Jake Fromm to take some big shots down the field. I'm with you. I'm in on that statement as well. Statement number two for in or out. With a loss today in Madison, Jim Harbaugh will once again come under fire by the national media.
Has he got under fire since these last two games? He's been in the fire for
probably
the
not
last couple games. Yeah. But I think this game would probably do it. His seat will get a little warm, but look, I had them losing this game, so, you know, I think if they do lose this game, I think there's still room. I think you get a win against Penn State. You finally beat Ohio State, especially with a guy like Justin Fields as quarterback, which, you know, going into it, I thought, you know, Michigan could possibly beat Ohio State this year under Ryan Day. I watched the first couple games of Ohio State, and I'm like, I don't know now. Justin Fields looking pretty good right now. We talk about Joe Burrow and how good he looks in that offense. I don't know. Justin Fields looking pretty good for a transfer portal quarterback. So, you know, that game obviously looks a little tougher now. But, you know, I think this game will do it. This is one of those teams that, it reminds me, can you imagine if, like, for example, Alabama would lose to LSU? Like, LSU's always that team that's, like, borderline could be a top team, you know, but they're kind of like borderline, can't never get over the hump. That's kind of how I look at Wisconsin. If they're like the LSU of the Big Ten, where they're always in that window of a top 10 team, but then all of a sudden they lose to a team like Michigan or like Ohio State, that kind of drops them down a little bit. So if you want to prove that you're, you know, the top team in the conference, you got to beat teams like Wisconsin. And that's no offense to Wisconsin. They're a really great team. But it's just, if you want to solidify yourself that this is our conference and we're the top team in this conference, you got to beat them. So I'll go in.
Yeah, I'm in as well. But Michigan feels like a two-loss team, Ohio State being one of those defeats. You know, they've struggled with Michigan State as well. Harbaugh's only beaten them once this year. It doesn't feel like they'll lose to Michigan State this year because I think Michigan State is just very, very dismal when it comes to offense. They're a tough watch for a college football fan. But if you are Michigan, you got to go in and win this game today. And I actually have a gut feeling that they will. I don't think Michigan's going to lose this game. I think Michigan goes into Camp Randall today, gets the win. But if they don't, yeah, I think, once again, Jim Harbaugh, because we talk about you got to beat Ohio State, you got to get past Michigan State, you just got to win these games where you're not, quote, expected to do so. They're about a 3.5-point, 4-point underdog on the road. Go in there, week off after the Army game, and beat a guy like Jonathan Taylor and the Badgers.
Yeah, and you got to beat your rival. And, you know, drink every time I use an Alabama example, but I'm going to use another one here. When I look at Gus Malzahn, I think that's what saved his job. That year that he beat Georgia, and then that year he was able to beat Alabama. You have to eventually beat your rival. I think that's one thing that got Les Miles out of LSU, is that, you know, he couldn't beat Alabama. So that was the reason why he got kicked to the can. So, and I think it would be the same thing for Jim Harbaugh, where if you can't beat your rival, if you can't beat some of the best teams, if you go 0-5, 0-4, and you split a series with Wisconsin, because, you know, Wisconsin beat them before, and you split series with them and you're 2-2 against them, it's just like, why am I paying you this money to split with Wisconsin and to lose every game to Ohio State? So it's just, to me, it would just be pointless. So I see that narrative of, yeah, you got to win this game.
Okay, next statement, in or out on the following statement. Now, let me preface this by saying we have seen Oregon go down. We have seen Washington go down. We saw Utah go down last night. So in or out, Mike Leach and Washington State are the Pac-12's best chance at crashing the college football playoff.
I'm going to go in, and it's, you know what? I'm actually going to go out, and here's why. I'll switch it up real quick. Here's why. I think Washington State will, you know, now they're the favorites, but I still think Oregon has a chance to still win it. I think losing a non-conference game doesn't hurt you as bad as losing a game within your conference. I think the fact that they lose to Auburn, and it all depends on what Auburn does. If Auburn ends up winning 8 games, 9 games this year, then that loss looks a little, you know, looks a little bit more pretty. But when you got Washington losing as well, you got Oregon, you know, they have a loss on their record, and then you have three teams who are undefeated. It's kind of like The Bachelor a little bit. So you got the final three teams with the roses, with the Pac-12 roses. So it's the Golden Bears, and it's the Cougars, and it's the Sun Devils. The last three teams of The Bachelor, who's going to get that final rose? They go to the Rose Bowl. But no, and then you look at today's games. You got California, they're going against Ole Miss. You got Washington going against BYU. You got Oregon on the road against Stanford. It's just the Pac-12 just knows how to beat each other up, man. It's like a Royal Rumble every time you watch them. It's every man for themselves, and they end up beating each other out of contention. But I'll go out. I still think Oregon has a chance. I still kind of think Washington State has a chance as well. I don't think Washington State's their only chance, though. So I'll go out with the except, because I think Oregon can still make it if they win.
I'm actually going to go in here, and I'll say yes, because I look at it from the standpoint of, I don't even know with 100% conviction that if a Pac-12 champion runs the table and goes undefeated, that they would get in the college football playoff. Because the college football playoff is about picking the four best teams. Washington State, and I don't think they will run the table. I'm still staying with Oregon to win the Pac-12 despite their one loss. I think they'll emerge as conference champion. But I'm not sure that a 12-0 Pac-12 champion would get in the college football playoff.
Really?
I really don't. Because if the goal of the committee is to put the four best teams, are you automatically just going to put Washington State in because they're 12-0? I mean, if you believe Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, whoever else you want to throw in there, LSU, if they are one of the four or five best teams, you don't put sixth-ranked or seventh-ranked Washington State in simply because they're a Power 5 champ that's undefeated.
Okay, so I'll say this then. So, and looking at Washington State's schedule, you beat Utah on the road, they're ranked right now. You beat, you know, Arizona State, which they're ranked now, but, you know, we'll see how that plays out. Oregon, you beat them on the road, they're ranked. Depending on if Cal can beat Ole Miss, they're ranked, and that's on the road as well. And then you got Washington, that's the last game of the season, on the road. So you got all these ranked opponents on the road. I think you'll tell the committee enough that you beat enough ranked opponents on the road that you're able to get in, I think. And I think Washington State, and that's why it's a good question on you by asking that, is Washington State is the best example of to be able to get in only because of their schedule has games where they're playing these tough road games that are against ranked opponents. So I think they have a chance, but I still think Oregon's still teeter-totting in that Pac-12 championship. And if Auburn ends up being, you know, a good team with, you know, a bunch of wins this year, then I think it's a little easier to say Oregon is a good team.
Final two for you really quickly, in or out. The Alabama lack of a run game is a legit concern for Steve Sarkisian and Nick Saban.
I'll go out on this because you're going to take a fall somewhere. I think with Alabama having, you know, Tua being able to throw the ball for 400 yards, and then you got guys like Najee Harris catching the ball in the backfield, but you got Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs and Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith. You know, I think you don't really need the run game. And I know a lot of people look at it and they look at the stats. It is because Nick Saban said early on that he's going to get back to that Bama standard. And when a lot of people heard that, a lot of people thought automatically that he's going back to the run game, and that's what that meant. But as long as the offense is getting yards and scoring points, I don't think it matters. So I'm going to go out.
Okay, final one for you. Jonathan Taylor will have a Heisman moment today against Michigan.
Yeah, I'm going in. I think, and I had him in when we did our preview show, in my top five, and I said that he's going to have that Heisman moment, and I said that, you know, Michigan was going to be that moment for him. So I'll go in. I think that's what you need, and it's very weird to say you need a Heisman moment. You need to have one of these marquee wins for us to put you in New York. I think stats don't lie, man, and production don't lie either. I think Jonathan Taylor gets in if he has this Heisman moment today.
Coming up next, our buddy Bill Bender from the Sporting News is going to join us. We'll hit on all the big stories from around the country next here on Saturday Tailgate. And we welcome you back into Saturday Tailgate, ESPN 102.5. The game, to Kale, Marquise Munson with you, leading you right up until kickoff today at 11 o'clock as we talk some college football right now with one of the best writers across the country. Bill Bender from the Sporting News is joining us here on Saturday Tailgate. And Bill, let me start in Big Ten country this morning with you, Michigan and Wisconsin. I feel like this year more than ever, Jim Harbaugh has been more hands-off with the offense, letting Josh Gattis do his thing as the new OC at Michigan. At this point, do you see that continuing to be the way he goes about it? Or at some point, do you think Harbaugh is going to kind of interject himself again to the offense? Bill, do we have you?
I'm sure he already does. I mean, it's only been two games, and I think the national reaction after that Army game, people were acting like they lost. They won the football game, you know, and they've got a tough defense. I think, you know, they've got to win a game as an underdog today, and they've got to look better offensively. I think everybody understands that. To me, it rests not so much on Gattis and Harbaugh, but Shea Patterson. This is a game where he needs to protect the football. He needs to play better than he's played. And if he does that, I actually think they're going to win today. And in games of rain and wind, it can be a coin flip. I just think they're going to win an ugly one.
Yeah, and also on Wisconsin's offense, Jonathan Taylor has had a field day against Michigan in the last two matchups with them, 36 carries and 233 yards in both of those games. And how do you see Michigan's defense? Because obviously we put a lot of emphasis on their offense, and their offense has struggled, but you know that's going to be what helps them win this game, is being able to contain a guy like Jonathan Taylor. So what do you see out of this Michigan defense?
Well, he had 100 yards 2 years ago, and I mean, it was a couple big runs, and then they had, you know, he had 100 yards last year, and Michigan won the game by like 26 points. So he's going to get his, essentially. To me, it's more important for Jack Cohn to have a good game if Wisconsin wants to win and move the ball, move the chains with the air in the passing game. And if that happens, Wisconsin will be in good shape. Michigan's defense is pretty good, though. They don't have some of the front seven guys they had last year, but they're still pretty solid. They had an extra week. So I think Wisconsin needs to be, if it's Shea Patterson on one side, on the other side, it's just Wisconsin needs to be more than Jonathan Taylor to win this football game.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News joining us here on Saturday Tailgate. So, Bill, last night we saw a big upset for USC as they knocked off 10th-ranked Utah. Just how big of a win was that for the job security of Clay Helton?
I mean, pretty big. I think they could win the Pac-12. And we'd still probably ask the same question. That was a big win on the road or at home with a third-string quarterback who stepped in and threw the ball around well. I think that game was more an indictment on Utah. We thought things were different. We thought they were a preseason playoff sleeper. We thought they were all these things. And turns out they still can't win in the Coliseum. So, yeah, I think Clay Helton's fine. I don't think he's going to go anywhere in the short term. But they, again, they play Washington and Notre Dame the next 2 weeks, and it could be 3-3, and we could be asking that question all over again.
We're talking to Bill Bender of Sporting News here, and let's go to the next big game in college football, and that's Notre Dame and Georgia. And when you look at Brian Kelly and these big game situations, and this is another one that's going to be a big game situation against a top 10 team on the road, has Brian Kelly reached a window to where it's like he cannot win these games against these top 10 opponents, and that's becoming an issue here at Notre Dame to where, you know, yeah, he'll get some wins at home and he'll get some top 25 wins, but when it comes to beating these top 10 teams, these teams that he may be able to see in the college football playoffs, it seems like he's a whole different team going into that. So, like, what do you see out of Brian Kelly, and is this a must-win for him to kind of get people back into rhythm on Notre Dame being a contender in the college football playoffs?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're double-digit underdogs, so I think they're going to show up and play. I just don't know if they have enough to slow down that Georgia rushing attack and all the running backs they have and what they offer on offense with that rushing attack, and I think that's something to watch. So, yeah, but, I mean, as for the big games, I mean, that's the same thing we talk about with Harbaugh. It's, yeah, he's a good coach, but at some point you got to try to break through and win some of these games. And, I mean, Notre Dame, they did make the playoff last year. They did go 12-0. You can only play your schedule. And then when they play Clemson, it looks bad. So I actually think Kelly and Harbaugh anymore, they've done a nice job at those schools, but they're two coaches that generate – I've made this point. It'd be different if Notre Dame won, but if Michigan wins today – Jim Harbaugh is not going to be trending on Twitter at all, and they're an underdog. If he loses, he'll be trending on Twitter. You can bet that because everybody will pull out all these stats. BK, same deal. If Notre Dame wins, I guess it's a little bit different. Notre Dame wins, we'll probably look at them like a playoff team, as we should, because it's a huge win. If they lose, it's going to be Brian Kelly can't win a big game.
Speaking of betting on things, Bill, the latest Heisman odds are out. Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, all with better odds to win the Heisman right now than Trevor Lawrence. Curious to get your perspective of what you've seen so far from Trevor Lawrence. The stats have not been eye-popping, and you look at the schedule that Clemson has the rest of the year, and I can't really sit there and say there's going to be a game where Trevor Lawrence has a Heisman moment. He was my preseason pick to win the Heisman. Is he now on the outside looking in from a Heisman perspective?
A lot of it's stats. I mean, it doesn't demean what Trevor Lawrence is doing. Clemson's in cruise control. He's thrown a couple picks, and he doesn't have the numbers that Jalen, Tua, Justin Fields, and Joe Burrow have. I mean, those four guys are the top four right now, and they've got the numbers. They're playing well. But, I mean, Clemson's not going to lose, so I think he can absolutely get back in the mix there and be a quarterback of a 12-0 team. Problem with that is Travis Etienne probably be in the mix too by the end of the year. But yeah, with the way Jalen and Tua are playing, I think that's your 1-2 right now, with Joe Burrow close behind at third because Jalen's doing everything he's doing at Oklahoma. And obviously Tua, I've been telling people all along, Tua's actually on a better track than he was last year. And that's pretty scary knowing he was the leader of the Heisman most of last year.
Bill, final one for you. When you look at the Auburn-A&M game today, I just look at it from the perspective of the two teams' schedules. Auburn's got a killer schedule. A&M's is virtually identical, maybe minus one big-time game that Auburn already has on the schedule as far as, you know, going on the road. They've got Florida, LSU, Georgia, Bama. Does this feel like an elimination game in many regards, whether it's within the West, getting to 10 games, maybe making a New Year's Six bowl game today with these two teams today at College Station?
I mean, it's a huge game for A&M because they're the only team in the country that plays 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
I don't know who made their schedule. So, and then Auburn's 8. So, and they've already played Clemson, already have a loss. And then on the other side, it's Bo Nix, a true freshman. Can he be consistent enough to go win at Kyle Field against the 12th man? And I don't know what I know the weather's wet here. I heard it's supposed to rain there as well. So the elements are going to play a role in a couple games today, whether it's Wisconsin, Michigan, A&M, Auburn. I don't know what it'll be doing down in Georgia, but that's something. It looks pretty nice on game day anyway. But, yeah, just keep an eye on that, and the team that generates the running game be in better shape.
Bill Bender, Sporting News, college football writer, one of the best going. We appreciate the time and the insight as always, Bill. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, enjoy Saturday, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Bill Bender with us. Always appreciate his time. We'll come back. We'll get to the local games of the week, the Vols and Gators, as well as LSU and Vandy. That's next on Saturday Tailgate. Welcome back in Saturday Tailgate here on week number four. Nick and Marquise with you. ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Saturday selections are coming up at 10:45. We'll make our picks against the spread on all the games of the day that matter, both in the SEC and around the country. But let's get to both of the games that most people in this market care about, and that is Tennessee and Florida, which kicks off in just about 30 minutes down in Gainesville, as well as LSU and Vanderbilt over on the West End, which also kicks off at 11 o'clock today. If you can't make either game, you're obviously going to want to have the two TV setup going. Florida-Tennessee on ESPN, LSU-Vandy on the SEC Network. Here's the question, though, right out of the gate for you, Marquise. Tennessee, about a 14-point underdog. LSU, about a 24-point home underdog. Which team do you think will be more respectable and more competitive today?
Florida and Vols.
Okay.
Easy. I think, and look, and I've been a component of watching these games against Tennessee and seeing some good. I know a lot of people don't want to see good out of this Tennessee team, but I've saw some good and I saw some really bad. And, you know, I think this offense has played well at times. When it gets to the second half and the fourth quarter, that's when you start seeing a whole different offense. And, you know, I think their defense needs a lot of work. And they're going to have to protect Garantano because you got a Florida defense that leads the country in sacks. And they also are top 25 when it comes to tackles for losses. So, obviously, protecting, you know, Garantano is going to be a major key. But then when you look at their running game's been pretty good with Ty Chandler and Eric Gray. And I think the offense is not the concern. It's being able to play on defense. And I think, and this is just me predicting, that I think Florida ends up running two quarterbacks in this game. I think Emory Jones makes an appearance in this game. Mm-hmm. In some way, shape, or fashion. I don't know if it's going to be a series. It may just be for a play or maybe a play or two throughout the game, but I think Emory Jones plays in this game. So if you're Jeremy Pruitt, be prepared to play two quarterbacks in this game. Don't do the Kirby Smart. We're only going to prepare for one. Tua, you're the starting quarterback. We're going to have to contain you. And then Jalen Hurts enters the game. So prepare for two quarterbacks because I can see Emory Jones getting in this game. And I think they can keep it respectable.
The thing, though, for me with Jeremy Pruitt, and I'm going to lose my mind today at 11:30, 11:45, if I see this conservative trend. You cannot come out and just try to establish the run and, you know, survive the first quarter, you know, get through the initial wave and surge the crowd. They need to adopt the same approach, and it didn't work last week, and I didn't think it would work, but I applaud the effort and the rolling of the dice. Will Muschamp in South Carolina knew last week their margin for error was virtually zero. So what did they do? They slung it around. They were throwing. They were aggressive. Muschamp went for it on fourth down. He ran fake punts. I believe they ran the fake field goal where the long snapper snaps it to the placeholder.
Yeah, got brought back for a holding.
He flips it over his head to the kicker like Les Miles and LSU did basically a decade ago. You better pull out all the bag of tricks. This Tennessee team has lost to Florida, 15 of the last 16 years or 14 of the last 15. You got nothing to lose. You already lost to Georgia State. You already lost to BYU. There's no perfect season on the line. There's no division championship. There's not even an 8-win season or a 7-win season on the line. Just play like you have nothing to lose. And coach like that as well.
Nah, absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that, and you got me choked up there, Nick, with the passion of Tennessee football. I like it, but I think
I don't want to see any of this managing the game and the environment. Just go for the jugular.
You don't want to see typical, we're going to run the ball for two downs, throw the ball on third down
no.
offense. You want to see aggressive offense, and yeah, I think that's what you do to make a statement against a team like Florida. And like we said earlier in the show, this is a Florida team that is without their starting quarterback. Yeah, they may be better off with their backup quarterback being in, then their starting quarterback. But, you know, you saw in that game last week with Florida and Kentucky. Kentucky's vulnerable, man. And we've talked about this for a week now of, is Kentucky really – or not Kentucky, but Florida, excuse me. Is Florida really a top 10 team in everybody's mind? And I don't think so. I think we put them on there for defensive purposes, but I don't think they're a top 10 team. And – be able to play, and don't play like you're playing a top 10 team. Play like you played last week against Chattanooga. You know, don't, obviously don't, you know, take your foot off the gas again. Don't think they're Chattanooga, but play like that. Play with that aggressive attitude, knowing that you have to win this game, and playing with that type of mentality. And I think if Tennessee does that, they could possibly get a win. I don't think they get it. I think it'll be a close win by Florida. I don't think it's going to be a blowout win. I don't think it's going to be a 14-point win. I think it's going to be a close win against Florida, and it's going to be a effort by Tennessee that maybe Vols fans will get off Jeremy Pruitt for. But if he wins this game, then all is fair in love and war, I guess. And
well,
if
he wins today, this is bigger than the Auburn win last year.
No, easily. And I think it's – and I'm not going to say it's one of those wins, Nick, that with Clay Helton had last game, because obviously Clay Helton's 3-1, so their records are a little different. But and, you know, they had a close game against BYU. But I think if they win this game against Florida, I think it eases his season a little bit different. Because then you go into this Mississippi State game, and then depending on if Tommy Stevens even plays, you're going against a second-string, third-string quarterback. And then you go against Georgia, and then you go against the Alabamas, the games that you kind of expect to lose. But then you go in that last stretch of games where you have UABs, the Kentuckys, Missouri, depending on what they do, and then you have Vandy, which you have to beat Vandy if you're Tennessee, because you haven't been able to do it in the last couple years. So I think if with a win like this, it just gives Jeremy Pruitt at ease a little bit more than he has in the last couple weeks.
Okay, you mentioned Vanderbilt. Let's get to them as they are hosting LSU, kickoff in just about 25 minutes over on the West End. And we had Coach Derek Mason on Morning Drive this week, and they're coming off the bye, and they are playing some poor football right now, so much so, and I give the coach a little bit of credit for saying this on a radio show, that even his wife says, hey, you guys aren't playing too well right now. You have some struggles going on. So how the heck does Vanderbilt, because they're not going to stop Joe Burrow, they're not going to slow them down, but how does Vanderbilt score some points to at least keep this game moderately respectable?
When I look at Vandy's offense, they just don't have any balance. It's Keyshawn, and they haven't been running the ball with Keyshawn Vaughn. Keyshawn Vaughn has under 20 carries in both of the games that they've had. That's unacceptable for a guy that's probably the second best running back in the SEC to have under 20 carries in two games. That's just uncalled for. And then also he doesn't have a backup running back to kind of alleviate that situation. But Riley Neal is going to have this a little bit more balance on offense. When you look at some of the top teams on offense, Nick, you look at let's even look at LSU, to where they have an offensive line, they have a quarterback that can win you games, they have wide receivers, but they kind of took a slip at running games. And you see with Missouri has two running backs, they have a good quarterback, good offensive line, maybe some weapons on offense. I don't see that. I see Vanderbilt having, we have one guy here, we have one guy here, and then we have one guy here, and then we got a questionable offensive line, and then we got a quarterback that we still have questions about as well. And it's just no balance. It's like we just have guys. We don't have a balanced core. We just have guys. We have good guys. We have a good guy at wide receiver, and then you can maybe throw Chris Pierce in there because he had a big game against Purdue, and then we have a good player at tight end, and then we have one good player at running back because our running back depth is not, because Brooks is a freshman, he's not going to be able to put up the carries like Keyshawn Vaughn, but it's just no balance there. We just have guys, and that's why Vanderbilt's always going to be where they are, is they just never have a good group of core people on offense that can carry the ball. They had Ralph Webb, and then they had nothing else. And then they have, Kyle Shermer, and then they have nothing else. And it's just, that's been consistent with Vandy's offense. And that's why they can't keep up with a team like LSU, because LSU's so balanced. They can beat you at the run. They can beat you with wide receivers. They can beat you any way they want to. They can beat you on defense. And I don't think Vandy has that on this team, and that's been their problem.
It's going to be interesting to see the way they try to attack a Dave Aranda LSU defense from the standpoint of the quarterback position. Are they going to stay with Riley Neal? Are they going to stay with Deuce Wallace? Are we going to see both of them back and forth? I mean, a couple of weeks ago against Purdue, I thought, and I mentioned this to Coach Mason when he was on with us on Tuesday or Wednesday this week, you started Riley Neal. I thought he was playing relatively well. You went to Deuce Wallace for a spark. It didn't work out. You went right back to Riley Neal. I think at some point you need to commit to a quarterback, because if you're going to go this guy, that guy, and then back to the other guy, that's not a confidence boost for your team. That tells me you don't know what to do on offense who to believe in.
No, exactly. And like I said earlier with Florida, I think that, and this is the difference between coaches, I don't think when Dan Mullen implements Emory Jones in the game, it's not because of what Trask does or if he's struggling or anything like that. It's just only because to throw Tennessee off guard. I think that's what Derek Mason's mindset was with throwing Deuce Wallace in there. But if you got a guy that's playing well on the road against a team that, you know, fairly good. You know, I mean, they're okay. They're going to be a 6-win team this year. But you got to, and then you have to build some confidence in a starting quarterback. And you don't build confidence by sitting your guy on the bench and putting in a backup quarterback after he just beat this guy out in training camp. It's just like, why do that? It made no sense to me at all. When I watched it, I was confused. I was like, maybe he's trying to throw him off guard. You remember the Georgia game, Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game, when they threw Justin Fields on the field on fourth down? Like,
yeah, on the fake.
Like, yeah, on the fake. And it's just like, we know what you're doing.
It was a dead giveaway.
It was a dead giveaway. Putting Deuce Wallace in, dead giveaway. Dead giveaway for the defense, because they're looking like, well, why the hell do you have Deuce Wallace in the game? And then your quarterback's looking at it as, do you not have confidence? Am I not doing everything right? Like, I'm having a pretty good game. Am I struggling? And is there things I need to work on? And then you have a quarterback that goes out there miscombobulated. His third drive, Riley Neal's third drive, where he had Pinckney for an 18-yard throw. He had, you know, Kalijah Lipscomb for a 49-yard throw up until he got, you know, Vaughn in for the end zone for a touchdown. They were playing pretty good on offense, and then all of a sudden you put Deuce Wallace in. It's just like, what are you doing, man? Like, you're not throwing anybody off. You're not doing this Alabama thing where he's like, hey, we got a Jalen Hurts on the bench. We're going to put him in the game. No, Deuce Wallace is not that. So just keep Riley Neal in the game, continue to build his confidence, and let's see where the season plays out.
All right, coming up next, we will wrap it up with our Saturday selections, college football picks against the spread. That's next here on Saturday Tailgate. Nick and Marquise on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in the morning drive. It's actually a morning show, I guess, here on a Saturday.
We would be done with morning drive by now.
People are actually driving around, so technically it's morning drive, but it's really Saturday Tailgate. Two-fourths of morning drive here on Saturday Tailgate. Nick Cale, Marquise Munson with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know, before we get to the picks, we've had a really good Saturday with the Clemson A&M game. I'm drawing a blank on the other game, but it was a monster doubleheader weekend a few weeks ago. And then
was that the Texas LSU game?
We had, you know, some good stuff the opening weekend with Oregon and Auburn. Yeah. We've had the Miami Florida game, but in between we've had kind of let down weeks. I think this is one of those pick you up type weekends where when the sun goes down tonight and we get ready to go to bed and it's 10:30, 11 o'clock Central Time, we might see 2, 3, 4 upsets today of significance.
Yeah, I mean, there's some intriguing games, and obviously in our market, you know, the LSU game and Vandy's intriguing, and Florida and Tennessee. But when you look at other games in the SEC, I'm curious to watch Cal versus Ole Miss and see, you know, what this Ole Miss offense does. I'm looking forward to see the Pac-12 implode and watching Stanford potentially beat, you know, Oregon. You know, there's a lot of intriguing matchups, and it started off yesterday with that USC and Utah game, and it kind of was a kickstarter. Because usually, man, those Friday games are rough, man. Some of those games are just not good football games at all. But yesterday you had two good games, and, you know, Air Force and Boise State, and then you had Utah and USC, so yeah, it's a good week for college football. I love it.
All right, Captain Kurt, let's get to the Saturday selections.
We're closing in on kickoff around the nation. Time to make this week's picks against the spread.
Let's go. Go, we gotta do it.
These are our Saturday selections.
All right, time to dish out some winners here in college football. Try to make a few bucks for you. Saturday selections, we've got a total of 6 games today that we will make our picks for. And we begin with the Florida Gators down in Gainesville. They kick off in just about 13 minutes. Florida, a 14-point favorite against Tennessee. Hollywood, which way are you leaning?
Oh, man, this is a tough one because I'm going to go Tennessee plus the points. Because And their defense has struggled the last three games. I understand that. You know, Florida's got a new quarterback in, so obviously he's going to have some growing pains early on. I just think Tennessee keeps this game close. I don't think they get blown out by 14 or 21 points. I think they keep it to within a 10-point, maybe even a field goal type game, where those upsets can be on upset alert. So I'm going to go Tennessee in this one, plus a point.
I totally disagree. I will take the Florida Gators minus the 14, and it kills me to do it because I like Jeremy Pruitt, and I want to see this program get to where I believe they could get to eventually under Jeremy Pruitt when he was hired to be the head coach. But I'm going to take Florida 35-17. They cover the 14. They win by 18. Over on the West End, LSU is about a 23.5-point favorite against Vanderbilt. Again, for me, would like to believe, take away your heart, think with your head. LSU rolls today by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm going LSU in this one. I'm not even going to disagree with you. I'm not putting my heart in it. I'm putting my pockets into this. And
now, if this was the Joe Burrow I thought we were going to see this year,
yeah,
I might take Vanderbilt. But Joe Burrow looks like a Heisman contender this year. I'm taking LSU.
Nah, the way LSU's offense has looked and I'm gonna go LSU with the points. I just think this offense is just too much for Vandy's defense to handle, and I just don't think they have enough on offense to be able, because LSU's defense is pretty good too. They've struggled a little bit. They're not the same defense they were last year when they had Devin White and Greedy Williams, but you know they still have some pretty good studs on defense. So I'm going to go LSU in this one with the points.
Okay, close one in the Big Ten today as Wisconsin, also an 11 o'clock kickoff. Really a ton of great games at 11 o'clock today. Wisconsin, really? About a 3.5-point favorite against Michigan. Camp Randall, everybody's going to be jumping around, going crazy. It's one of the best venues, one of the best pregame traditions in all of college football. Who do you got, Wisconsin, Michigan?
Since it's minus the 3.5, I'm going to go Michigan because I think Wisconsin will win this game, but I think they win it. This is going to be like one of those bad beats to where I get screwed over because you know I end up winning by like a field goal or something. But I'll go Michigan. I'll go Michigan plus the points. But I do think that Wisconsin will win this game maybe by one or two. So that's why I'm going to go Michigan by the points, but I'm going to go Wisconsin in the game.
I'm going to go low-scoring game. I think it's a field goal difference. I'm going to take Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines plus the 3.5, and also to get the outright win. It kills me to say it because I would love to just start tweeting Braden Gall and tell him that his boy Jim Harbaugh lost another game that he was needed to win. But I for gut feeling something about it. Michigan coming off the bye, not looking good. Offense, 2 weeks to kind of get things rolling. And Wisconsin, as good as their defense has been, because they haven't allowed a point, they've played Central Michigan and Southern Florida, or South Florida. So the competition goes up today. I like Michigan.
Yeah, it's hard to debate. And that's why when you look at those stats with defense and offense, and it's hard when your first two games are against. And that's the same thing with Michigan. It's like, yeah, I know they played some cupcake teams to start off the season. Army's no joke, though. I like Army. Army's a pretty good team. But you know, I think it's hard to dictate until you actually get a talent level that equals yours. And so this Wisconsin team will be tested, but I just think Jonathan Taylor has a big game, and then they get Wisconsin the win.
Okay, Texas A&M is about a 3.5 to 4-point home favorite against Auburn at College Station today. And our buddy Lee Sterling on the show yesterday gave a great stat, one of our handicappers on the show. The road team in the Texas A&M Auburn series, 6-0-1 against the spread. Auburn's the road team. A&M wins by a point.
A&M wins by a point. I like it. I'm going to go with Auburn plus the points, though. I'm going to take my chances. And you can tell that I'm not a big gambler, and I lose a lot of money because I make a lot of boneheaded decisions, but I like it. I like the risk of going through college football Saturday with my pits sweating.
But are you taking Auburn to win the game or just cover 4?
No, I think they're going to win the game.
Bo Nix outright. The legend of Bo Nix continues to grow.
I think he wins this game. Like I said earlier, I love this Auburn defense. I think under Kevin Steele, this has been one of his best defenses under Kevin Steele, and I think they got a lot of talent in that front seven. I've watched Kellen Maude against a defense with a good front seven, and he folded, and that was that Clemson game. I think it's the same. I think this Auburn front seven is equal to what Clemson front seven is, even with them losing all that talent. So I'm going to go Auburn winning this game, so I'll go Auburn plus the points.
Okay, two more plays for our Saturday selections. Let's go out to the Pac-12. Oregon, a 10.5-point road favorite at Stanford today. I am the biggest David Shaw fan in SEC country. I love David Shaw. But they have been disappointing this year. They were disappointing last year. KJ Costello drives me nuts because I thought that was the guy. And every time I believe in KJ Costello, he breaks my heart. Today's my last stand. This is the last opportunity for me to support David Shaw getting 10.5 on the farm at Stanford. I will take Stanford today. But if they break my heart and Oregon covers, David Shaw's officially dead to me.
Officially dead to you.
He's done.
I mean, because earlier, I mean, is Costello?
I'm not saying he's going to get fired. Yeah. He's just, I'm done betting on him.
You're done betting on him. I'm actually going to go Oregon with the points. Even though it's a road game, Justin Herbert's been playing pretty well since that Auburn game. And even though it's not hasn't been against top level opponents, I just, KJ Costello, I don't see it this year. So I'm going to go Oregon with the points in this one.
Okay, final one tonight, Georgia, Notre Dame, between the hedges. How great is this going to be? You got like the history and the tradition, Notre Dame, the Golden Domers, the helmets glistening under the lights, Athens, Georgia. Like if you love the nostalgia and the, I mean, I don't even know what other word to describe college football, the pageantry. If you love all of that, this is for you. But then once the game kicks off, I think you're going to quickly realize that Georgia's the superior team. I will lay the 14 points with Georgia. They're going to beat Notre Dame 41-20.
Wow. You got them losing. Wow.
41-20.
You have no faith in Ian Book at all.
No.
None whatsoever. No. None of that defense.
No, Notre Dame needs to steal points early in this game.
Yeah. So I'm going to go the same thing. I'm going to go. So I teased it. I teased it enough to where it's like, you know, I'm going to take the other side. No, if I'm a gambling man, I'm taking Georgia. Man, this Georgia team is just, they're on a mission, man. And we mentioned this earlier, man, with Kirby going into this game with a chip on his shoulder, knowing that Notre Dame got in the college football playoffs last year over them, even though they lost in the SEC championship game. I think they're tired of losing these games to where it's, you know, why are we losing these games to where it's, you know, we're the favorite in this. So I think I'm going to go Georgia in this game. I don't know if I'm going to go the large margin of you did with 41-20, but I will go Georgia winning this game by 14 points, by legit 14 points, not 15, not 16, by legit 14 points.
Notre Dame will be kicking field goals in this game. Georgia will be scoring touchdowns. That's why I have them pulling away and winning by 3 scores. All right, so coming up later today, here's what you got on ESPN 102.5. The game up next, you've got Michigan and Wisconsin, followed by Auburn and Texas A&M. So a college football doubleheader on 102.5. That'll lead you right into the Predators in Tampa Bay. Preseason game number 4 tonight at 6 o'clock. On 94.9 game 2, Southern Miss Alabama, followed by Kentucky and Mississippi State. So a great college football Saturday on tap for you. The Vols and Vandy both at 11 o'clock today. The doubleheader on CBS is Auburn and A&M at 2:30, followed by Georgia Notre Dame at 7 o'clock. And a handful of other good ones sprinkled in. Michigan, Wisconsin, you know, some Pac-12 action. This is the beauty of college football because you've got so many different windows. You've got the 11 o'clock, the 2:30, the 4, the 7. The NFL gives you 2 windows and it stinks.
So you say you got the 2 TV set up, and you know me, I'm a single man that lives in a 1-bedroom apartment, so I don't have the 2 TV set up like Nick Kill. So what's going to be the 11 o'clock games on the...
All right, so the 2 TV set up today, I got this written down. See, I'm a planned and prepared individual.
Wait.
You see that? You like that?
Oh, my God.
I go in that my whole setup is ready to go.
Let me read this. So on the 65-inch, yes. Nick is going to have the Vols versus the Gators. On the 32-inch TV, he will have LSU versus Vandy, but on the laptop, he will have on Fox Michigan versus Wisconsin. And then, wow, you actually
you know what we call
down.
This? You know what this setup is called? It's the Nick Kale Tito's College Football Command Center.
I love it. So when we go to the replay booth, we go to you in like your underwear and Tito's.
Yeah, I'll have no pants on making replay reviews. Absolutely. And I'll get the call right and quicker than these bozos do. All right, that's it for us. Have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you next week.